Thank you, Tom. That was beautiful. Good morning, everyone. It is my pleasure to welcome you on this chilly Sunday morning. And I'm especially excited today to officially welcome the Reverend Andy Burr as our interim minister. I know that Andy is excited to partner with our congregation on our journey to calling a settled pastor and that we have much to look forward to. I hope you'll find an opportunity to introduce yourself and spend some time getting to know Andy. For now, I'll share just a little bit of his background. Andy started his career in accounting, finance, and administration before being called to ordained ministry. Andy served as a settled pastor for two congregations, then followed the call to intentional interim ministry, most recently serving in that capacity in Southborough and Middleborough. One of Andy's greatest joys is serving as chaplain to the Lunenburg Fire and Police Departments, and as a member of the Montechusett Critical Incident Stress Management Team. Andy and his wife, Karen Nell, live in Lunenburg and have two adult daughters. Andy and Karen Nell enjoy reading, cooking, traveling, and spending time with extended family. Andy, on behalf of First Congregational Church of Natick, I wish you a very warm welcome.
Thank you so much, Robin. I am just delighted to be here. I'm thrilled to be here. And as you mentioned, I feel a sense of call to partner with this congregation during the interim time to work on the church profile, get it handed off to a search team, and work with you until you call your next pastor. I am so impressed with the church, all the documents that I've read, really the vitality and excitement and faithfulness comes through and everything that I've seen. It's a church on the move. So thank you for welcoming me. Thank you for calling me to be the interim pastor. I would really, really, really appreciate if each one of you were to send me an email, andyburrfcn@gmail.com, send me an email of introduction telling me about yourself, telling me about your family, maybe a picture or two. That would be great for me to get to know people. Let's turn to the announcements for a second, which is sort of odd, isn't it, that I'm telling you what's happening here. I want to thank the worship leaders, both in front of the camera and behind the camera, those people listed on the screen, and to the staff at Natick Pegasus. Today, we will light the Christ candles. So I invite you to have a candle and something to light it with nearby. We'll be celebrating communion together. So please have something with you, some sort of drink that you can partake in, and some sort of bread, whether that's a loaf of bread or an English muffin or a tortilla or a corn muffin that's been buttered up on and toasted up on the griddle. Please send any prayer requests to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, and we will include them in the prayer later in the service. I invite you to join us in our post-worship fellowship, which will be by Zoom. I personally really look forward to it so I can get to know some people. Following the fellowship, you will have your annual meeting. I will be there. We need 50 people here. I think it's 50 people as a quorum, and we'll hear about reports from ministry teams throughout the church. Sarah Lynn has an update on the Super Bowl.
Hi, everyone. Yes, are you ready for the Super Bowl? This says it's halftime. That was last week. It's actually the third quarter. We're getting there. We are almost at the finish line. So remember, everyone is on a team. If you live north of Route 135, you are a polar bear. If you live south of Route 135, you are a penguin. You can get in the game to donate food to Natick Service Council, and the link there on the screen is where you would go to donate money to get food to the Service Council. But let me give you an update on where we are. So this is what the teams have done so far. The Penguins are way ahead with $1,759 wow. donated. And the polar bears to the north of 135 have a whopping $687 donated. Now, it doesn't, all of this goes to Natick Service Council. Everyone is a winner, but we want everyone to get in the game. So you have until next week. The Super Bowl ends on February 13th at the end of the worship service. And so we hope that you will be a part of this wonderful challenge that we have put to you. Thank you.
And finally, the Coordinating Council is looking for members, nominations of names to serve on the transition team. We would like you to submit, everybody in the congregation, to submit the name of three people that you consider wise, members of the congregation that you consider wise, somebody that if you were considering a big job change, you might go and talk about, or somebody who, if you're in crisis, you might go and talk about. Two, listening and communication skills are great. Enthusiasm about the prospect of beginning the next chapter. You're going to hear me say this over and over and over again. It is critical to this process of developing the local church profile that every member of the congregation fully participate, so all the voices are heard and people can come together, write the profile, and find the next pastor. Let us take just a moment to light the Christ candle among us that reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world, and that we are called to spread that light and be that light wherever we go.
Please join us in the call to celebration. Called by God,
we have come to worship.
Called by Christ,
we have come to follow.
Called by the Spirit,
we have come to rejoice.
called together.
We will listen and pray. Thanks be to God.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in deepest sin, thy hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Holy One, you are ready to meet us wherever we are in our lives, offering vision, interruption, hope where we may least expect it. Surprise us here at worship today with some unexpected grace that will change something in us, large or small, and send us into the world inspired and impassioned to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's take just a moment to share the peace of Christ with each other in words that are meaningful to you. The peace of Christ. God be with you. Namaste. When we're done with the service, please, please call and offer the peace of Christ, or visit and offer the peace of Christ to those that are important to you and those whom live around you. The peace of Christ be with each one of you.
And also with you.
Remember the words of the Apostle Paul. It was Paul who said, "It's not that you need to give yourselves in hardship, but at one point your surplus may fill their deficit, and at another time their deficit, their surplus may fill your deficit." Remembering the words of the Apostle Paul, let's offer our gifts to God. They can be mailed to church or given through our website, firstchurchnatick.org. Let us join our hearts and words together as we give thanks for the offering. God, who alone is holy, we offer our gifts, our lives, our compassion, our service to others, and to your creation. Bless all that we offer, so that we might be blessings of hope, peace, and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knee, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Here ends the reading for today.
What do you need to let go of so you can move into the future to which God is calling you? He, the writer of Luke, makes it look all so easy. It, of course, is the process of becoming a disciple. The fishers, Luke tells us, are hanging out down on the lake shore after a long and seemingly fruitless day of fishing out on the lake. I imagine that they must be tired, and if they're all like me after a day in which I don't get much accomplished, they might be just a little bit cranky, washing their nets, the nets that didn't catch anything at the end of the day. And who should appear in one of the boats but Jesus, taking a seat and beginning to teach? And when the teaching is done, we have this little miracle. The nets are overcome with fish. Peter falls on his knees and confesses his unworthiness of discipleship. Jesus commissions the guys for discipleship, all of them, whether they're worthy or not. 1, 2, 3. He makes it all look so easy. Unless, of course, we hear that last little phrase stealthily snuck in after the comma. They left everything. What do you need to let go of so you can move into the future to which God is calling you? Henry Nouwen, in his book, With Open Hands, shares the following story. An elderly woman was brought to a psychiatric center. She was wild, swinging at everything in sight and frightening everyone so much, the doctors had to take away everything from her. But there was one small coin which she gripped in her fist and wouldn't give up. In fact, it took two people to pry open that clenched hand. It was as though she would lose her very self along with that coin. They deprived her of that last possession, she would have nothing more and be nothing more. If they deprived her of that last possession, she would have nothing more and be nothing more. That was her fear. What do you need to let go of? And move into the future to which God is calling you. A while back, I had the occasion to share a cup of tea with a friend, Adam, who is actively involved in North Star Family Services. That's out here, the Hill Country's version of Metro West Family Promise. For those that might not know, both organizations and others like them are coalitions of local faith communities that provide housing and meals to those who are temporarily don't have houses, to those who are in transition from one housing situation to another, participating synagogues, mosques, churches, take turns cooking an evening meal, providing general hospitality, sitting around and chatting or playing games through the evening hours, and then spending the overnight hours simply offering a ministry of presence and just generally keeping an eye on things. One of Adam's observations, perhaps even a criticism, he observed that the sense that the guests of North Star had this sense of entitlement. Entitlement not only about their presence in the shelter, but more specifically, their reactions to the thoughtfully planned and lovingly prepared meals. Those meals, generally planned on the four basic food groups and hopefully in line with that little food pyramid. The meals at times, let's just say that the guests sort of turned their nose up at them, preferring frozen pizza or McDonald's takeout. Others, in addition to Adam, made those same observations, perhaps even criticism. And that's when it struck me that the ministry of North Star and others like it, those ministries invite us out into the deep waters of discipleship. But before we did that, we had to drop the coin that was so tightly clenched in our fist. The coin I'm talking about here, of course, is our need for expressions of gratitude, acts of ministry to or on behalf of others. Our need for expressions of gratitude to us by others. We see in this morning's lesson quite clearly that faithful discipleship has nothing to do with our wants or our needs at all. In fact, faithful discipleship calls us to just the opposite, to put all of our wants, all of our needs. We can minister effectively to others. Adam, my friend, with his self-deprecating chuckle, said, "Oh yeah, I learned discipleship isn't about being thanked at all." Much more gratifying now. "Oh yeah, I learned discipleship isn't about being thanked at all." Much more gratifying now. Adam had to drop that coin of his need to be thanked. What do you need to let go of so you can move into the future to which God is calling you? There's one incontrovertible truth that this passage drives home. The cost of discipleship doesn't come off the top. It is demanded of us after we have given everything that we can give. Remember, Jesus didn't show up after a good night's sleep and a hearty breakfast. He came to find these men at the end of a long workday, after back-breaking labor. What did he tell them? He said, "Keep on working." He does the same to all of us. And they left everything. But there was one small coin which she gripped in her fist and would not give up. What do you need to let go of so you can move into the future to which God is calling you? Perhaps that's the question for each of us and all of us this morning. What is the coin clenched so tightly in your fist that holds you back from moving out into the deep waters of discipleship? What do you and me, what do you need to let go of so you can move into the future to which God is calling you? What do you need to let go of so you can move into the future to which God is calling you? It's the perfect question. The perfect question for us at the First Congregational Church of Natick. It's the perfect question as we set out into the deep from time 2.0. Let's make no mistake. Luke's message isn't just to each of us worshiping this morning, to each of us as individuals. The Gospels were intended for use by faith communities, groups of people, those budding faith communities that were spreading throughout the ancient Near East. This morning, as we set out into the deep, Luke is saying to us as FCM, as the gathered community of faith gathered right here, well, there in Natick, what do you need to let go of so you can move into the future to which God is calling you? My hunch is that you have a hunch about what those things might be. I don't have any idea yet, of course, but you might need to let go of an overly romanticized view of the past. Or it might be a ministry which was vital in the past, yet only continues because we've always done it that way. It might be a new vision replacing one developed in the past. Or, perhaps even more difficult, it might be some members of the active captains of the boat stepping back so some of the boat's crew can develop their own fishing skills. What does the First Congregational Church in Natick, this very church, need to let go of so this community can move into the future to which God is calling? Jesus calls us, o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his voice calls us, saying, Christian, let us pray. Dear God, we are so afraid to open our clenched fists and let go of control. Who will we be? Nothing left to hold on to. Who will we be when we stand before you with empty hands? Please help us to gradually open our hands so that we may faithfully answer your call. We've come to the time in our worship in which we respond to God's words with prayer in our hearts and in our voices. This morning, of course, we remember everybody throughout the world who needs God's presence in their life. We remember those without houses who need a place to be, a warm place, a place where they can be fed. We need to keep in our prayers and on our hearts those people that Sarah Lynn.
We have a few prayer requests that came in this morning by email. Lorraine Oak shares a celebration that she became a great grandma last Thursday. Again, this is number 10. So we celebrate with wow. Lorraine in that. And also a prayer that Tina Tufano shares with us. Please pray for Linda Schmidt, who is in the hospital due to surgery complications. And please also pray for the doctors that are taking care of her. Thanks.
Please join your hearts with mine in prayer. Oh God, it's hard for me to let go most times. And the squeeze that I exert garbles me and gnarls others. So loosen my grip a bit on the good times, on the moments of sunlight and the starshine of joy, that the thousand graces they scatter as they pass may nurture growth in me rather than turn to brittle memories. Loosen my grip on those grudges and grievances I hold so closely, that I may risk exposing myself to the spirit of forgiving and forgiveness that changes things and resurrects dreams and courage. Loosen my grip on my fears that I may be released a little into humility and into an acceptance of my humanity. Loosen my grip on myself so that I may experience the freedom of a fool who knows that to believe is to see kingdoms, find power, sense glory. To reach out is to know myself held. To laugh at myself is to be in on the joke of your grace. To attend each moment is to hear the faint melody of eternity. To dare love is to smell the wild flowers of heaven. Loosen my grip, dear God, on my ways and words, on my fears and faithfulness, that letting go into the depths of silence and my own uncharted longings, I may find myself held by you and linked anew to all life in this world you love so much, so I may take to heart all that you have taken me to heart. We pray in your holy name as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us in words that are most meaningful to each one of us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. With thanks to Ted Loader, who wrote that prayer and included it in his book, Guerrillas of Grace. We were in Jersey for the of our niece Emily and Leif. And I was sitting in the pews while Karen Nell was officiating at the service, and it came time for the celebration of communion. I was sitting behind two men who were clearly a couple. You know, they were in each other's space. And as Karen Nell was leading communion, she said, you know, to this table, the table of Jesus Christ, everybody is welcome. Young and old, straight and gay, smart, wise, everybody is welcome to this table, the table of Jesus Christ. And one of the men sitting in front of me started sobbing. And he said to his partner, you know, I have never, ever been welcomed to take communion. And she just said, I am. And she, Karen Nell, my lovely wife, was right, is right, that everybody, everybody who wants to be at this table is welcome. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I invite you to this table. We remember on the night that he was gathered with his friends, the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave the cup to his disciples, saying, drink from this, all of you. This is my cup of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's consecrate the bread, the elements we have before us, wherever we are. I invite you to hold out your hands of blessing. We all have them. Hold out your hands of blessings over the elements. We are one bread, one body, one cup of blessing. Though we are many throughout the earth and this church community is scattered, we are one in Christ. Wherever you may be, rest your hands lightly upon these elements as we ask God's blessing upon them.
Let us say together. Gracious God, bless this bread and cup and all of us with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Through this meal, make us the body of Christ, the church, your servant people, that we may be salt and light and leaven for the furtherance of your will in the world. Amen.
Amen. Let us, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven.
We are one in Christ, in the bread we share.
Take and eat. And let us, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing.
We are one in Christ in the cup we share.
Take and drink. Let's join together as we give thanks to God for the gifts that we have been given. Let's pray together. Through this communion, O God, we have taken you into ourselves. Your love and compassion, your gentleness and justice. In our gratitude, we pray that we might now broaden and expand your table to share your love. Thank you for your grace, which allows us to take up the journey of sharing bread wherever we may be on the road. Let us forever know your presence in front of us, beside us, within us, as we seek to be faithful. Amen.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives, what restless seas. Day by day his voice still calls us, saying, Christian, follow me. As of old Saint Andrew heard it by the Galilean lake, turn from home and toil and kindred, leaving all for Jesus' sake. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden star, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, till he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by your mercy, Savior, may we hear your call. Give our hearts to your obedience. Serve and love you best of all.
Into the deep. Out into the deep. Into the deep, go. As we go, may you love God so much, love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Amen.